Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in the studio to encourage you is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And joining us today in the studio, here to encourage you and inspire you, the man himself, Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Good to have you today.
Good to be here.
We're excited about today's program. We have so much to share with you. Text your friend, let them know, VFN Radio. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Well, you know, it's another wonderful, wonderful day.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. You know, I enjoy my drive up into the studio, guys. And
really?
You know, yeah, just enjoying looking at the, you know, sun nice and shiny where I was coming from.
You had sun?
I had sun. I had sun.
There was no sun where I was at.
Oh, goodness. You know, this rain, what do you say? What do you say? We need rain to grow things, but when you have rain for about 3 weeks straight, you're like, a little sunshine right now would be nice. So I was enjoying, and the sun was nice and hot and bright. But I got to an intersection. All of a sudden, I see all these cars stopped. I'm thinking, what in the world's happening? Not a place where you see too many, not too much traffic or backup. And then I see this man on the side of the road. And then my heart went out to him because I had these moments. Apparently, two of his dogs got loose. Nice dogs. You tell they're very nice, big dogs. I don't know what they were. And they're in the middle of the road, two of them. And they're like, you know, cars are stopped, 18-wheelers pulled over.
Right.
And they're trying to get these dogs back to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a standstill. And there's one guy on the side of the road trying to, you know, call them over. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. And I thought, I had moments. I had moments like that. I remember taking these a lot one night.
Well, you had moments a lot like that.
Well, not a lot. Not a lot. I took these a lot one night. And all of a sudden, he got off of my leash. His leash.
Uh-huh.
And it's just pitch black dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm
so you called him, and he just come running back to you.
Oh, stop it. So Diesel hadn't been outside in a long time, so he started smelling the outdoors and said, you know, I want to go on an expedition. I want to explore. And I'm like,
it's... You want to go smell some fire hydrants, huh?
Yeah, dude, it's it's late. I'm like, Diesel? And I don't want to scream because the neighbors are out, you know, like they're trying to sleep.
Right.
If you don't get back here... And he's looking at me like, what? Come follow me. Mm-hmm. He goes into this park, and of course, it's like pitch black dark. Mm-hmm. Every moment you're thinking about it's coming. It's like, oh, right. My goodness, I'm walking out here. And all I see is pitch blackness, and then I see these eyes, these glowing eyes in the dark. I'm like, if you don't come back here. So I finally got him back.
All right.
But, it's dangerous. You got these dogs out there, cars going back and forth. You want to make sure you get them because it's all over, man. It's all over. But he spared. He's now got more land to run and roam free. He's loving life right now.
Yeah, I bet.
He is loving life. So we had a little scare there. He lost so much weight, but man, he's nice and thick and he's ready to go. Fattened up. He's ready to go to the dog beach. So last time we had an experience there too. So maybe this time would be better for him, but. He's a good guy. You know, in Dubai right now, they have this interesting program. Now, Chris, Pat, we know, is very lean, fit. Mm-hmm. He's our inspiration. Yeah. You know, eats mm-hmm. all the right stuff. He gave us expert advice the other day on VFN Radio. I
mean, yeah, just waiting for y'all to follow it.
See?
Working on it.
Working on it.
It's a work in progress.
Wow. Okay. Bring him some chips. See how well he does tomorrow. So, Dubai has a very interesting weight loss program. It's for his residents. Lose weight for gold. Lose weight for gold. You need inspiration today? You want to lose some weight? This is what ABC is reporting. The United Arab Emirates tucks in for another 3 weeks, you know, because they've got the whole, you know, they're fasting, the holy Ramadan time mm-hmm. for Muslims.
Right.
Well, that country right now, they say they have an obesity problem. So what they're doing is they're having a contest, Your Weight in Gold, a contest which pays contestants to sweat it out. And for every kilogram, 2.2 pounds dropped, contestants take home 1 gram of gold.
Wow.
At current prices, that's about $45. Not enough for a gym membership.
How many grams in an ounce?
Man, are you asking me?
Come on, man.
I'm not the mathematician, okay?
I don't know the metric system. Help me compare to something here.
You're asking the wrong guy. I have no idea.
You in America. We're not here.
I have no idea.
Help me out. Okay.
Well, the top three biggest losers, will receive a share of nearly $28,000 in gold coins.
Wow.
So when you got a lot of gold to throw around, these are all these incentives, you know. I thought, Chris, we can. Did you want to try that out?
Take a trip?
Yeah, did you? Weight in gold. Well, you know, in God's news behind the news, we do want to share. We've been talking about some of the things that's happening across the country and been happening across the world. But I know in particular in the United States, we've been talking about what's coming. You know, what is coming to this country in terms of financial collapse unless the church and America repents and gets right with God. And we've shared on VFN Radio with 77% of Americans saying, professing, according to a Gallup poll, that they profess to be Christians. That would be 249 million Americans based off of 319 Americans. 77% is 249. Would be believers. Mm-hmm. And if that was the case, America would not be in the situation that it is today.
Right.
So there's a lot of people that don't have this thing right here. I have in tune with reality. And so we need God to touch us. We need God our hand on us, hand on our nation. But it's not going to happen unless we turn our hearts back to Him. So there's pending financial collapse, and as well as a host of other just poor decisions mm-hmm. that our government's been making in terms of what they're doing with finances. I mean, it's just bad decisions. You can't spend what you don't have. I mean, that's going to run dry. Okay? Yeah. You can't keep printing money. You can't just,
right.
You know, I wish you could. I wish I had the machine. You know what I'm saying? Just go ahead and print some more.
Right, right.
But in the real world, you can't just keep printing money and keep putting up Band-Aids that are going to, you know, prop everything up. Well, you know, we shared not too long ago, actually a couple years ago now, that Detroit, Motown, the Motor City, has now become an urban wasteland. Actually, it was last year, an urban wasteland mm-hmm. and a dead zone. And it was showing signs of going down and deteriorating. They have an urban waste zone where 45,000 homes are abandoned and burned down. They had a joblessness rate of 50%. And now it has a murder rate that's higher than the country of Colombia. This is Detroit now. I mean, this is the real deal here, Chris. And they continue to say that, listen, this is not good. I mean, I remember we were sharing that the Detroit police, which they already lost over 1,000 of them, 1,000 police officers. I mean, that is such a significant number.
Wow, that's
huge. Yeah, huge.
That's for a city that size.
Yeah. Well, the Detroit police officers were putting out a flyer saying, enter Detroit at your own risk.
Mm.
And so now we're at a place now that just happened. Detroit, the largest U.S. city, okay, has become the U.S. Detroit has become the largest U.S. city to file bankruptcy.
Wow. How does a city file bankruptcy?
Well, man, you're going to hear about this on CBN. But they have a whole chapter, it's actually a Chapter 9 process. Mm-hmm. And what I understand, because Wall Street Journal just did an article about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I understand, what it does is it protects them from being sued from creditors and allows them to restructure the debt. Mm-hmm. And so they owe so much money. You think about it, this city owes, like, everything. They owe so much money, and they cannot pay it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it does, according to Wall Street Journal, it allows... Actually, a municipality can't file a Chapter 9 relief unless the state permits it, and the governor had to permit it.
Oh, wow.
This was based upon the advice of this person that they brought in now to basically run the city because the city couldn't even pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're talking about how is this going to affect the residents, you know, what happens to contracts or pensions, will anything be sold? Can creditors sue to get their money back? And so there's a bunch of things that are going to take place, but they have to restructure because there is no money. They're in debt, and it's a city that's plagued with crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not getting folks getting ready to hop on in and move. Yep, I want to go to the impoverished place in the United States.
Yeah, right.
So you got to restructure. Why don't you listen to CBN as they share more about this? But right now, Detroit owes $18 million in debt. $18 billion. That's what it'd be.
To file for bankruptcy. The Motor City is $18 billion in debt. It's a big fall for the automobile capital of the world, which used to be home to 1.8 million people. In its glory years, Detroit was known for producing fast cars and that great Motown sound. Today, the music is stopped. Barely 700,000 people live in the city, and nearly 80,000 buildings sit empty. The homicide rate is at its highest level in 40 years, and residents wait an average of 58 minutes for police to respond to their calls.
Detroit's broke.
Now that we are here, we have to make the best of it.
Nothing changes from the standpoint of the ordinary citizen's perspective.
Detroit's emergency manager is promising city services will remain open and the government will continue to pay its bills and its employees. But there is fear workers could be laid off and assets sold.
How serious is this? I mean, you're talking about a city that used to have 1.8 million people. Now they barely have 700,000 residents.
Wow.
And they have nearly 80,000 buildings. Listen to this. 80,000 buildings sit empty.
80,000. Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
That's huge. I didn't even know there was possible to have 80,000 buildings.
But yeah, right.
This is what CBN's reporting. 80,000. You look at that number, it's staggering. It's staggering. And part of what's going on is, you know, they had the whole union thing going on with the police officers. They just couldn't afford them. They just couldn't afford them. And that happened in Detroit. We saw that happening in Camden, New Jersey, where they had to lay off all these union police officers. This happened in a city in California.
Mm-hmm.
Where they start losing the police, and now you're losing no protection. You can't attract residents to an area that's not safe,
right.
That has a good school system. No one wants to move in there, no matter how big or what the city used to be. And this is a city now. This is the Motor City. I mean, Ford, can't even begin to list all the car manufacturers that were based out of there. Good, you know, employment.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a city now that's going down, and it's just one of probably many to follow. And the question we got to ask ourselves is, my goodness, you know, where are we in all of this on this path in America? Where are we on this turn where a city can go bankrupt, one of the largest cities with all the manufacture, making all, not just, you know, cars, but all sorts of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're at a place where it's going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord's told us prophetically, in surround sound, if you will, I mean, from so many voices, from mm-hmm. so many people that are hearing, I mean, God's spoken through so many voices. What's coming?
Mm-hmm.
What's coming? I mean, we saw the economy that was going to be over in 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Basically, it was a prophetic dream.
Mm-hmm.
And in that dream, it was going to be a rapid thing. The world's going to change as we know it. You know, Greg saw a funnel of money being, paper money being sucked up and it's been burned away. Yeah. And you look at that, you say, you know, oh my goodness, you can do, as a believer, here's the deal. As a believer, we don't need to be fretful. We don't need to be, oh my goodness, Detroit, I live in Detroit, you know, what's next? Or I live in another area that's the same thing, same situation is going on. Listen, it's not a time for the believers to be fretful. It's a time for us to be prayerful. It's a time for us to be searching our hearts and to see where are you individually? Where are you? I remember one time I was working at a place years ago, and businessman came in, and I was talking to him, and he was talking about this during a period where they said that the economy was roaring. And he says, listen, everybody's economy is different. He said, for somebody else who's a multimillionaire, you know, he has the best economy going on for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's investing right. All things are going good for him and, things are going well. But we're looking out that window, he says, but that homeless guy, he's in the Great Depression.
Right.
He's in the Great Depression. And so although in the natural things could be looking bad economically and financially across the world, I mean, you have Europe that's just really holding on. I mean, it's been on life support. If you want to, a great analogy really to think about this whole economy, it's that it's on a perpetual life support. It is like one drip at a time, drip, drip, drip. Mm-hmm. And at any moment, one catastrophic event, I mean, really could just set a dominoes falling that can trigger all across, you know, the world. That's how fragile things are. And we shared recently on VFN Radio how even signs of the Dow going up. It's like, don't believe all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's momentary. Yeah. But as a believer, you can be encouraged today. You can say, listen, I need to search where am I with God? Am I doing the right thing before the Lord? And I think about what happened with Joseph. I mean, they're in a time of great famine. I talk about depression in the time of Egypt, talking about in Genesis. Mm-hmm. Joseph was blessed.
Yeah.
Joseph was used because God spoke to him prophetically in a dream and told him what he needed to do.
Right.
Save when he can save, because there's coming a period, there's coming a time. Mm-hmm. There's coming a time where there's not going to be grain, so you need to do the right thing now. You need to do the right thing now, and because he heard God and listened to God and, you know, obeyed God, they were able to be blessed, and his family was able to be spared, and many people were able to eat and make it through that period of time. Well, let me tell you, we're sharing with you today that you can be prepared, you can search God out, you can listen to him, and you can obey him, and you too can be prepared. And one of the ways you prepare is by making sure that you honor the Lord with his tithe and his offerings. It's impossible to live in the blessing of the Lord if you actually are robbing the Lord. I mean, those two things don't kind of connect there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can't hold God up, you know, and rob him, and at the same time ask to, you know, to be blessed by him.
Exactly.
You know, interesting how sometimes that thought comes in, you know, that doesn't work. It's wrong. It's sin. The Bible says you're under a curse. But be encouraged that if you're faithful with the Lord, what is God's, what is the Lord's, he's going to be faithful to you.
That's right.
I mean, I can tell you testimony upon testimony upon testimony of his faithfulness and his goodness and what he can do to those that walk with him, believe him, obey him, and honor him. Listen, if you honor God, believe me, he's going to honor you, and he will see you through any type of situation, whether it be physically, emotionally, financially. He is the Lord of all. No need to fret. Be prayerful. Keep yourself low and humble, dependent upon him, and do the right thing, and watch God will bless you in the midst of the greatest famine and in the midst of the most trouble. You'll see God show up on your behalf and walk you all the way through.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I work for a construction company. When we have meetings, Most of the guys and some of the ladies, they use the most horrible language. They know I'm a Christian and I'm offended by that, yet they continue to do that. However, when I mention the name of Jesus, then they'll run to management and complain. And I've been, they threatened to fire me twice because of that. Is there any recourse that I have that I can get them to stop doing this?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, that is using language in such a way, it really does create a hostile work environment, and that could create all kind of problems for them, especially if there's women around, and that sets up a liability for them, and they need to be very, very careful. Number two, you can't be fired or terminated because during a break time or during lunch you talk about your faith or talk about an activity at church. Title VII specifically protects you.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this. But sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. You say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we're talking about, my goodness, listen, no matter what's happening around the world, you can trust the Lord. The Bible says that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And let me tell you, if you are faithful to the Lord, he is faithful to you. And he'll see you through the darkest times and the darkest places. But we're talking about Detroit. Detroit has now filed for bankruptcy. And we just pray for those in Detroit, those that are going through these tough times. And let's believe that this city is going to come back. But it's not going to come back, let's say, stronger than ever. It's going to come back dependent as ever. It's going to be a city that turns to God in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their lack, that they realize, you know what, we need to be a city that turns to the Lord and that's get right. things right spiritually to get back on a right foundation. That's what it takes. Listen, when you come to the end of yourself and you come to all this type of stuff, you have one or two ways to approach this. One way is to say, we will come back and rebuild on our own strength and we'll just try to carve this thing back out again by pulling yourself by your own bootstraps. Or you can cry out to God and say, Lord, help me, help us. Let us get this foundation right. We don't want to rebuild again on the old stuff. We want to rebuild again on what's new. And what a perfect time for a city to be able to restructure you know, get things back in order. Listen, you're going to need God in that city. When 45,000 homes are burned up, when you have thousands of buildings that are empty, when you have a crime rate that's higher than the country of Colombia, I think you got a problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can keep throwing money at it because money has not fixed it. And you come to the point now where you're Chapter 9 bankrupt. The biggest bankruptcy is not the financial bankruptcy. The biggest bankruptcy is the spiritual bankruptcy. You're bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And you need God back in that city.
That's right.
And so listen, we're going to be talking about how nations are being won in a day. If we're trying to win nations in a day, certainly the city of Detroit can be won for Jesus. Listen, maybe you might be called as a missionary in America. Detroit would not be a bad city to go. There's a people right now that are being humbled, that are being broken. There's some people they can't even afford to move out. Mm-hmm. Those that can probably have left. Those that can't are there. What a way to reach a people right now that need hope and encouragement.
That's right.
Speaking of my hope and encouragement, you know, we've shared on VFN Radio about the amazing testimony briefly of R.A. Dickey, former pitcher of the New York Mets, who's now went to the Toronto Blue Jays, sad to say, for some of those New York Mets fans. But R.A. Dickey is a believer in the Lord. He is a Christian who loves God, and he has such an amazing story. My sons and I were able to meet him and give him a baseball with iabide.org. We have a picture of that there on the torch, and maybe we'll make that related for you. Really nice guy. But I Am Second, I Am Second did his testimony video, and you're going to hear some of the things that happened in his past. Listen, there's so many times that all we see are the highlights in people's lives. We see when they celebrate and do great things and great things happen to them. But we don't realize that there's a story behind the story. Everybody has a story. Now everybody can communicate it in a way that maybe could hold your attention and, you know, fill in all the details for you. But let me tell you, everyone has a story, mm-hmm. and people just don't arrive to a certain place. Mm-hmm. And R.A. Dickey's no different. He has a story. He was hurt. He was abused. And a lot of that abuse was undetected. You know, it wasn't, it never, you know, people never really knew what happened to him. And so you see people sometimes that struggle with issues and you're like, what's your problem? Or you think that, you know, they just need to fix themselves. Well, people have been through things. Mm-hmm. People have been through some things and not everyone can communicate and tell you. And the devil does. The devil does an amazing job, if you will, by working people over and causing them to feel shame, causing them to feel guilt, condemning themselves, even drawing them into more sin, and, you know, where they become so clouded that they can't even be able to open up and share with anybody. Let me tell you, it's so important that you have relationship in your life. It's so important that you don't become in your life a solo island where it's just about you getting up to work, coming home, you and your family, and that's it. Listen, we need to have genuine relationship, especially in the body of Christ, where we're walking alongside brothers and sisters. The Bible says that we need to carry each other's burden and there, you know, therefore fulfill the law of Christ by loving on each other and taking the time to find out how we're doing, what's going on. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised with a cup of coffee and some time with someone will open up. And there's something about sharing and talking. I know that we've spent some time, mm-hmm. many years, putting together small men's groups and and building relationship and talking and sharing. Isn't it an amazing dynamic when you just take the time to get out of yourself just to be there for somebody else and listen to their story?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, that's probably one of the most memorable times I've had in my walk with God is, you know, being able to, you know, be received from other men.
Yeah.
And also be able to speak into other man's life.
Yeah.
You know, it's just awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
Because we're all, you know, we're all the same. We're not different. You know what I'm saying? We all have struggles. We all have, you know, there's no difference.
There is no difference. And that's what the thing that the devil would try to make it seem. Like you're the only one that's been through this, or you're the only one that's had this trial, or nobody would understand. Hey, listen, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. Mm-hmm. And especially when you get genders together, you get all men together and all women together, mm-hmm. it's amazing. You put all women, all different, you know, races and backgrounds and different economic classes, but they get them together and they can just talk forever and all connect. And same thing, you get a bunch of men together. Mm-hmm. When men come together, it's the same thing. There's just something about that bond that where they can begin to share. You need someone. Yeah. You need someone in your life that you can open up to and you can share the real deal. I want you to listen to R.A. Dickey's testimony. And listen, last year he was the National League Cy Young Award winner. That means he was the number one best pitcher of all the pitchers in the National League. He was awarded the top award. But he didn't get there overnight. God did amazing, amazing work in his life. I want you to listen up.
I remember the sound. I remember the sound of jingling. I remember being in the back seat counting them. The street marks sitting in the dotted line of a driveway with a rubber hose duct taped to the exhaust pipe.
We came to the place where the Rangers offered me a contract that was, I think it was like $810,000 plus.
Pummeling out money with all my might. And the word spread, and before I knew it, I was in my underwear on the banks of the Missouri River. And so I said, I'm going to do it.
Where did your story begin?
I think when my parents separated, I just felt incredibly lonely. The first time that it ever happened was with a female babysitter. I was 8. You know, your mom drops you off and nobody's there except you and her. And, you know, the next thing you know, you're in the dark and you're sweating and your clothes are off and you don't know why and you don't know what's going on. And it's a very confusing thing. My most vivid memory is the smells. The smell of the room, the smell of the dark, the smell of my own perspiration, you know. It just smelled like something was happening that shouldn't be happening. I remember about the third or fourth time thinking, okay, just do what you're going to do and let's get it over with. But the incident later in that summer when a male assaulted me was worse. It was borderline violent. It was violent. I was by kind of a garage, dilapidated garage. It was a stranger. I knew that I was about to be raped. I knew it was coming. I went somewhere else, and then I came back. It was awful. And I remember, looking up from the ground and seeing that guy running away. And I remember the sound. I remember the sound of his belt buckle jingling. One of the things that happens when you're abused is you feel less than human. And for me, that's what I felt like. Do I even matter? Why should I be here? You know, if that can happen to me, then I surely must be less than an ant. All my acumen was built on trying to forget it, not tell anybody. I prayed to receive Christ when I was 13, and once I even, said, Lord, this has happened to me. Can you take it away? Can you take the feelings away? Can you take the shame, the hurt, the feelings of inadequacy, the wounds? Can you close them up? And so my expectation was, I think, initially that they would be instantly healed. And when they weren't, I had a lot of anger about that too, when I felt like, here I am taking the risk with you, Lord, and yet I don't feel any different. Within sport, I found that I could control my destiny. if you worked hard enough, if you executed the right mechanic, if you followed the formula as an athlete, then you would be rewarded for that. So that was a way that I not only escaped, but found a lot of validation and a lot of identity as I grew into an adolescent, a teenager, and a young man. I think my happiness came from being good at baseball. I accepted a scholarship to the University of Tennessee. Ended up being a first-round draft pick by the Texas Rangers. I felt fantastic. They had offered me a contract that was, I think it was like $810,000 plus some money for school if I ever wanted to go back to school, but certainly more money than I had ever thought about having. I hopped on a plane and flew down to Arlington, Texas. I dreamt about pitching in the big leagues since I was, you know, 8 or 9 years old. I'm getting to do it. I mean, here it is. We head to the doctor's office. They put me through all kinds of tests. I felt like I passed every one. You know, I didn't have anything to hide. I never missed a bullpen, much less a start in college. Headed to the stadium, and I was going to get to meet Nolan Ryan, who was a childhood idol of mine. And so we get up there to the offices. My agent comes to get me, and his eyes looked watery. And he took me in the office where Doug Melvin, who was the general manager of the Texas Rangers at the time, told me that they were going to take the offer off the table because they felt like there was something wrong with my elbow. They weren't sure that they were even going to sign me. And it was all I could do in the moment not to reach over the desk and pummel him with all my might. And I remember standing up in that moment and feeling this, like, what seemed for me to be like a wind, like a just a feeling wash over me. And the feeling was, it's okay, I've got you. And that's all I remember. Opened up a lot of what I had felt as a damaged youth after being abused. You know, just you're inadequate and you're broken and nobody, we don't want anything to do with you. I'd been just barely hanging on and had a wife to support who was abandoning everything to help me chase my dream. And we fought a lot. And I felt like, you know, I couldn't provide what she needed. Again, there's that motif, that pattern of feeling inadequate. My velocity had really dropped. What once was a 92-mile-an-hour sinker was now like an 86-mile-an-hour sinker. I could see the writing on the wall. What I had to offer, it was time to say goodbye to that and embrace something new if I wanted to keep going and chasing a dream. I had thrown a knuckleball and some bullpens in practice, and Oral Hershiser noticed that I had a pretty good one, and so they suggested to me to become a full-time knuckleball pitcher in 2005. I accepted their invitation. I went down to AAA again and tried to learn the pitch. When I came to spring training in 2006, I came as a full-time knuckleballer for the first time in my career and had all this hope of breaking with the team, being one of the starters, and really getting to do it differently. And sure enough, I made the team. And in my first outing in 2006, I tied a modern-day major league record for the most home runs given up in a game with 6, and promptly got sent down the next day. And not just sent down, but taken off the roster. I was just at the end of myself. In my darkest moment, I was sitting in a driveway with a rubber hose duct taped to the exhaust pipe and run into the driver's side window with the window rolled up and a towel packed around the slit that window created. with my hand on the key. The only thing that saved me in that moment was that feeling that God was sitting right beside me in the passenger seat and whispering to me all the while, "Do not turn that key. I've got something else for you." And so I didn't. In 2007, I found myself in Omaha, Nebraska, playing the AAA affiliate. We stay at the hotel on the banks of the Missouri River. I was 32 years old, father of three, and contemplating getting down in my underwear and trying to swim across the Missouri River. Like, how legendary would it be if I were able to traverse the Missouri River in front of my teammates? Man, that would go down in history. Started swimming out. I noticed that the current's pretty heavy. I've had my head down now for about, you know, 5 or 6 minutes. I'm gonna look and see where I am. I can't see anybody. The current's so fast that it had taken me several hundred yards down river already. I'm starting to really get fatigued. Not only was the current strong, sweeping me down river, but the undertow was incredible. My muscles were burning, the lactic acid was building up, and was sucking me under so I could barely tread water. There is no way that I can get to the other side, I don't think. It was either keep pressing on and die trying to do this thing, gain your validation through this act, or turn around, swallow your pride, and try to make it back to shore and survive. So I started stroking back to the bank and quickly became apparent that I wasn't going to make it. I didn't have anything left. I couldn't hardly lift my arm to stroke. I finally just surrendered. It's an incredible sensation, and to feel what it's like to cry underwater, but I was weeping, saying how sorry I was to God for leaving my family and leaving my kids without a father. A split second before I opened my mouth to take in the water so that it would end more quickly, I felt my feet hit the bottom. I pushed myself up, and I felt a little bit of an adrenaline surge and was able to pump out a couple more strokes until I could see the bank. Fortunately for me, I had a singular teammate named Grant Balfour who had run the distance. He was up ahead of me, and he had his hand outreached. And I survived. I survived that when I had totally surrendered myself to the end. My life from that point on really centered around trying to live the next 5 minutes well, whatever that meant. I invited Ann, my wife, in to tell her for the first time about my abuse and my story. I was totally ready for her to walk out because that's what I felt like I deserved. And she did the opposite. And she completely embraced me despite what I felt like was the ugliest things about me and about my past. I began to risk things, risk relationship, risk trusting people, risk trusting other men, which I had never been able to do. And I began to discover that God was in the middle of all of it. Like He has designed me for relationship. When I started to care less about what my performance was and more about the process, I began to be better. I began to get better as a baseball player. And also, that paralleled my growth as a human being. For so long, I had hung on so tightly to my career, to my identity as an athlete, as a baseball player. And it seemed like God was just like cranking my fingers back so that He could get at it. the way that he wanted it. And I got to the place where I wanted to open my hand, and he didn't have to pry my fingers back. The knuckleball can be a metaphor for what it's like to let go. When you throw a knuckleball, well, the only thing that you care about is releasing the ball towards its target without spin. And to release a ball that doesn't spin, you have to surrender to the outcome in a way that you don't with other pitches. For me personally, God's in my mechanic too. He's in the process. So the surrender for me doesn't happen when I release the pitch. It happens when I wake up in the morning. Having to surrender to every moment from then until I close my eyes again at night. I think the complete surrender is what I'm most infatuated by. My name is Ari Dickey, and I am second.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
Steve, I got great news.
Tell me.
Did you know that there's an app on how to build a fire?
Really?
There's an app, how to build a fire. Okay.
All right. Lemon twigs. I need that one. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, you do. You definitely need that one.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's free. Don't cost you nothing. I'm going to hook you up. But guess what else there's an app for?
Drying the wood.
Nope. VFN Radio.
Nice.
Does it matter if you have an iPhone? Does it matter if you have a Droid? VFN Radio has an app for that. All you need to do is go to your app store and search VFN TV and hit download. And it's VFN Radio on the go. So no matter if you're at home, no matter if you're in the car, you're at the beach, you're at the park, you can stay plugged in, you can be encouraged, and you have so much access to so much more. Download the app now, VFN TV. Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we just listened and heard R.A. Dickey's story. I mean, wasn't that amazing?
That was powerful.
And that is powerful. This guy went through all sorts of stuff. What he didn't share in that testimony, I mean, you only could say so much, and what he did say was powerful, was that he grew up in a home where his mom was working all the time, and his parents were divorced. He had no relationship with his father. And I believe his mom was a waitress at a bar, I think. He wrote a great book last year called, subtitles, Wherever I Wind Up. It's R.A. Dickey, and he wrote it with Wayne Coffey. And really, it's a great book. It's Wherever I Wind Up, My Quest for Truth, Authenticity, and the Perfect Knuckleball. And you hear all the stuff that he went through, man. This guy was abused.
Yeah.
You know, he was sexually abused. He was raped. And it affected him the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about so many people that have gone through stuff today that were abused or things that went wrong in their life, maybe, you know, suffered a great tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dealing with things today the best way they know how. But their best way they know how is still not good enough. It's still not the right way. I mean, you're still crashing. You're still messing up stuff. You're still not doing what you need to do because it just doesn't work out. And to live with that type of shame and guilt and really torment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly what's going on.
And when you see a guy going through something like that and you hear R.A. Dickey's story, your heart melts because you say, man, you know, you can identify. You've have your own pain, your own struggles, the things that you went through. And it's not easy to talk about these things. One, because, you know, first of all, it hurts, you know, and second of all, you need God. You need God to help you to process and to bring healing really to your heart, healing to your soul, to your emotions. And he goes all his life through this whole, you know, carrying this thing.
Yeah.
And he winds up finding an outlet. And thank God he did in baseball. And so his life has been like one giant, huge struggle because he's trying to make it in the major leagues. And he's being offered this contract only to find out that there's something wrong, supposedly something wrong with his arm.
Right.
His ligament. It's not even supposed to be able to twist a doorknob without him being in excruciating pain.
What people couldn't see was they said that it was actually a ligament was actually missing from his elbow.
Yeah.
And it was a mystery on how he could even throw it all. And he's been throwing for years like that without a ligament.
Wow. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
I mean, without a ligament in your knee, I could barely walk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I can imagine trying to throw a ball.
Well, think about this. You know how they found out he was on, he made it to the Olympic team, baseball Olympic team, and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with four other baseball players, and how they first noticed this thing was when they looked at the picture and noticed that his arm was hanging down a little bit awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple, I mean, if they never would have saw that picture, that's what started them having him check out and to get an MRI because they had no understanding, you know, what was going on with his arm.
Yeah.
But they saw that picture of their new recruit and said, something's not right there. Take the littlest things. And to have $810,000 just pulled out from underneath you.
Wow, that had been devastating.
And you're flying up there, it's more money. I mean, he grew up very, very, you know, kind of poor and just no funds. And this was like, you know, millionaire status and just taken away.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's amazing. He struggles into the minor leagues. He finally gets signed for $75,000, not even 10% of what he originally was offered.
Yeah, right.
And then for something like 9 years, he's going to the minor leagues. In his book, he writes how he didn't even have money oftentimes to drive down to the ballpark. So he would find an apartment for him and his family close enough to the ballpark where he could ride his bike.
Oh, wow.
His bike to practice. Wow. Listen, when we come back in the extra hour, we're going to talk about some of the real struggles that we face, some of the real struggles that are out there, and how they can only be healed in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today that if you're struggling, that you've been hurt, and you've been suffering and you just don't know how to end it all. You don't know how to get healed. You don't know how to get past it. We want to encourage you that Jesus is the only way to be healed from the inside out.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says every joint supplies. And think about it, you're disjointed, disjointed, you're out of joint, you're not into the body, because there's only one body, there's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe that, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to Himself. And you know, basically, people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast. And you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience. A virtual stadium, if you would, that was being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.